We have been studying in the book of Daniel, and we're kind of in a place looking at the dream of the king of the Babylonian Empire. His name is Nebuchadnezzar. It's hard enough to say or spell, but it's a long name, and he was a mighty king. He was a powerful king, and very early on, as he was king, he had a dream, and the dream was so significant to him that it was troubling to him, and he kept him up at night, and he wanted to know what the dream meant. It was the kind of a dream that even Nebuchadnezzar, who did not worship God, he knew that it was significant. He knew that it was from God, but he didn't know what it meant, and so it troubled him. And he called the people around him to tell him, what does the dream mean? And nobody could tell him what the dream meant. And it continued to eat at him, and he got more and more frustrated and angry, so much so that he wanted to put to death the people around him who were supposed to be the diviners. They were supposed to be the astrologers and the magicians and all those that understood those strange supernatural things. He got so angry that he wanted to put them to death. And then Daniel, who was among that group of those men who had been trained and learned, heard about that. And he went to his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he said, "We've got to pray about this." And so they set out one night to pray. And they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed, until finally God gave Daniel the dream. God gave him not only the dream itself, but he gave to Daniel the interpretation of the dream. Last Sunday, we heard the words of Daniel as he told the king that only God could give him the dream. He started out by saying, no man can give you the answer that you're looking for, King Nebuchadnezzar. No man can do it. Nebuchadnezzar was looking in the wrong place. And Daniel said, no man can give you the dream. But he said, but there is a God of heaven who can. And he pointed King Nebuchadnezzar to the God of heaven. One of the things about Daniel's life is that he's always pointing people to the God of heaven. His life was wrapped around and anchored by a faith in God. And if you have that kind of faith, when you struggle, when you have problems, if you have a dream you don't understand, or if you have issues in your life that stop you and slow you down or give you problems, if you have that anchor, that faith, and you can go back and you can seek God and say, God, I need you. I need the God of heaven to help me with this problem. I'm dealing with something too big for me, too difficult for me. I need the God of heaven. I love that phrase in the book of Daniel, and it's repeated many times, and it's simple. The God in heaven. There is a God in heaven that reveals mysteries. And I want to say today that there is a God in heaven that can meet the needs in our lives. Daniel's life was an affirmation of that belief of the great God of heaven, a great faith that God could help him. I mean, Daniel knew that. He believed it. He lived it. He proclaimed it. And he pointed people to it. Daniel just did not have this incredible faith that he kept to himself. But it came out of Daniel. People saw it. And when he encountered people, he pointed them to God. Last week, we talked specifically about this big moment when finally Daniel was brought before the king. The stakes are high. The king has said he's going to put to death all the wise men. And Daniel says, let me talk to the king. And he brings him in. Now, what is Daniel going to say to him? What does he do? What Daniel does is he brings Nebuchadnezzar, the king, into the knowledge and the presence that there's a God in heaven. And there's a God who can answer his dream and his prayer. Well, today, we're going to look at the dream itself. Last 2 weeks, we've talked about the dream and about the dreamer and about Daniel. But today, we're going to look at the content of the dream. And this message today is about prophecy. It's about this vision, this dream that the king had that points ahead in the future, into the future from King Nebuchadnezzar's day up until the time of Christ. What does it mean? What is the dream that troubled the king so much? In verse 29, we read, as you were lying there, these are the words of Daniel to the king. As you were lying there, O king, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mystery showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than other living men, but so that you, O king, may know the interpretation, and that you may understand what went through your mind. Daniel says to the king, O king, God will give you the interpretation. God's the one that's going to show you, because he wants you to know what is going to happen. God is giving you something special so that you will know what is going to happen. The first thing I notice is that Daniel tells the king that there's a purpose for his dream. There's a reason why he has this dream. It's not a random dream. I think the king already knew that. He knew that it was big. He knew that it had big ramifications. He knew that it was very important. But Daniel says that to him. This dream has a purpose. He also says that this dream is a gift from God. He tells him that it is from God. And so Nebuchadnezzar, you should stop and think about why it is and who it is that gave you the dream. I mean, the reality was Nebuchadnezzar coming to the place of knowing who gave him the dream was probably as important as knowing what the dream was about. Until Nebuchadnezzar understood the authority of God and that it was God who had spoken to him, probably really didn't matter about the content. But Daniel says to him, this is God speaking to you. You know, God speaks to us in a lot of different ways. Sometimes God, as they say, hits you over the head with a hammer. Maybe there's a big event in your life. But also God speaks to you through the little things if you're listening to him. Every time God speaks to you, it's a gift from God to say, you're important to me. I care about you. God wants to speak to us. God wants to have this continuous relationship with him through his Holy Spirit. For the king, he was hearing from Daniel maybe the first time. There's a God in heaven who knows you, who wants to speak to you. And then he tells him that the dream is about the future. King, God is giving you a look into the future, the kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar had to think about, I'm sure, his reign and about his security and about his kingdom and how long it would last. And I'm sure the king had a lot of thoughts about that. And Daniel says, well, this dream is all about that. Probably Nebuchadnezzar had thought a lot about his future. Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar that God wants him to know that God is giving him an opportunity. God is giving to Nebuchadnezzar a certain chance so that you will know. I mean, if Nebuchadnezzar, you hear this, and you listen to what I say to you in the dream, it can help you. It can change you. See, Nebuchadnezzar had a lot of problems. And one of them we know about is Nebuchadnezzar had a pride even bigger than his kingdom. And God would deal with that, and he would deal with that over the years of Nebuchadnezzar's life. One of the things that God gave Nebuchadnezzar an opportunity to is to turn back from the direction that he was going. So Daniel says, Nebuchadnezzar, you should be thankful to the God of heaven because he's given you an opportunity to know and to hear. Then in verse 31, this is the dream. You looked, O king, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze. Its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, and the bronze, and the silver, and the gold were broken to pieces at the same time and became like chaff on the threshing floor in summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace, but the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. And so there it was. Nebuchadnezzar heard the dream from Daniel. He had been dreaming it probably over and over again, but here Daniel tells him the dream, and Nebuchadnezzar knows. He knows that there's a God in heaven. He knows that God is about to reveal to him the meaning of this dream that has been in his mind and in his heart for a long time. And so he has this picture, this great statue, this strong figure with a head of gold and a chest of silver and bronze and then iron all the way to the feet. And then he sees this great fiery boulder come down from the sky toward it to demolish it and totally destroy this great statue. And then he wakes up from the dream. And so Daniel then goes on to explain the dream. He gives him the interpretation. And it begins with high praise. He says, "You, O king, are the King of Kings." I mean, in the dream, God says to Nebuchadnezzar, "You're the greatest king on earth." Maybe he was saying, "You're the wealthiest king on earth. You're the most powerful king on earth. You have the most influence on the earth. You're the greatest man of the whole world, King Nebuchadnezzar. You're the head of gold. You're powerful, you're mighty. You are everything." And it's the God of heaven, Daniel says, that's allowed it to happen. See, the dream starts to become personal to Nebuchadnezzar. He probably liked the first part, the head of gold. "Oh, that's all right. You know, I'm powerful, I'm strong, I'm mighty. Nobody can defy the armies of the Babylonians and the Babylonian king." But then Daniel uses that term he has used before, "But you don't understand, Nebuchadnezzar. You think it's all about you, but the truth is, it's not really all about you. The God of heaven has allowed you to come to this place in your life. The God of heaven has allowed you to reach this place of high dominion and power and glory and influence. All this stuff about your life, King Nebuchadnezzar, that you think you're so great and you're so wonderful and you're so powerful, you need to understand that it's the God of heaven that put you there. It's the God of heaven that allowed it in your life." And we know later on in the story what he said to him, and it's the God of heaven who can remove it from you as well. This story reminds me of a lot of things. One is that God allows things in our lives, whether you're the king of the Babylonian Empire, or you live in Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania, and whatever you do, God allows certain things in your lives. So you think it's all because of you, maybe even good and bad. I'm where I'm at today because of me and everything I do and I think. But the truth is, God has us in his hands and he understands our lives. God allows certain things to happen to certain people. It seems to me, and I don't understand why, God allows good things to happen to some people and other people, bad things happen to them. I don't understand why, but I know that there's a God in heaven who holds every one of us in his hands. You may feel sometimes like you're on the side of Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know that we have that many people that would feel that way. Maybe some of you feel that blessed and you have that much and could even puff you up a little bit from that, but you might feel the other way. Why hasn't God given me things? Why is it that I've had bad things in my life? Well, the truth is, this dream, I believe, speaks to everyone in life. It's the God of heaven who has us in his hands. He tells them it's a God of heaven who's given him that power. God has given you dominion. He's given you the kingdom. He's given you power. He's given you might. King, you need to understand that it's the God of heaven who's done this. Oh, King, you're the King of Kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Certainly unique was Nebuchadnezzar. God gave him this mighty dream, this dream of his life. "You are that head of gold," he says to them. "You have power. God's given you the rule over the world, over the earth." That part of the dream, again, that's probably pretty good. Nebuchadnezzar is listening to him. "Well, God has given me a whole lot. Everything you have is because God has allowed it, Nebuchadnezzar. From the greatest and most powerful king to the poorest and least known, the God of heaven is in charge. The God of heaven is in charge of your life. You may think you have earned it. You have gotten where you've gotten because of everything that you have. And there's a part of it that God gives us opportunities. But the truth is, God gives us life. And if God, for any reason, decides that our days are done, there will be a breath and it will be over. No matter how healthy you are, no matter how strong you are, no matter how rich you are, no matter how powerful you are, there will be a day you'll take your last breath and life is over. God gives life and God takes it away. God gives dominion and power and might and God takes it away. God gives rule and God takes it away. There is a God in heaven. He's a powerful God. He's also a God who loves you and cares about you. And the fact that he has the power of life and death in his hands in some ways should make you afraid. In other ways, it should make you call out to him and say, "Oh God, I want to know you. I want to believe in you. I want to be on your side. I want to follow you. I want to trust you. I want to know, God, that you are connected to me and you care about me and you know my life. This dream, I believe Nebuchadnezzar is wrestling with the power that he had and the truth of the authority and the presence of God. Yes, Nebuchadnezzar, you are that head of gold. You are powerful and you are lifted up. But I'm telling you, Nebuchadnezzar, it's soon going to be over. In the dream, it's going to be over. You will be gone. Your life will be over. After you, there will be another kingdom that will rise. Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar, after you, another kingdom will rise, and then another, and another. And he tells him there's going to be four kingdoms, and they're all going to come, and they're all going to go. They're all going to be compared to each other. Then he tells him about the fifth kingdom that will come. We know that this story is about four kingdoms. The Babylonian Empire is the first kingdom. This is Nebuchadnezzar. Around 603 or so BC, he began his reign. He reigned for a long time, almost 45 years. He was a very powerful king, and the Babylonian Empire rose to the largest empire in the history of the world at the time during the days of Nebuchadnezzar. He truly was the king of kings. He has the golden head. He had the most power of any empire up until his day. The Babylonians were massive. They were strong. They were led by this great warrior king, and they conquered many people. They were conquerors. God even used them to conquer Jerusalem and Israel and a whole different storyline, not here in Daniel, but other places in the Old Testament, ties all of the Old Testament of God's people into this event of the Babylonian Empire. Prophecy and the history leads into this event of what happened when Nebuchadnezzar broke down the walls of Jerusalem. The whole Bible is tied together. It's threaded together. And in every book, we see the threading and the presence of God in the lives of his people. And looking back, God used Nebuchadnezzar to destroy Jerusalem and bring judgment upon them. But then the Babylonian Empire would seem so strong. It would seem so powerful. It would be so mighty. But you know, the Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar, but you know what? It's not going to last very long. The Babylonians will be destroyed. That would have seemed impossible probably to Nebuchadnezzar at that time. There is no way that there's any kingdom out there that could destroy us. But you know, it was 66 years later that the Babylonians were completely destroyed overnight by the Persian army. The handwriting on the wall, another story in the book of Daniel that we're going to look at, came and told the king at the time, Belteshazzar, that even on this night, the kingdom will be taken from you. You know, as strong as Babylon was, and as probably as strong as Nebuchadnezzar felt, Daniel told him that your kingdom will be taken away, and it will be taken away overnight. And it was, and that will be led to the second kingdom. The first kingdom was the head of gold. The second kingdom was the chest of silver. There will be another kingdom that will rise, inferior to yours. It won't be as big, but it will be big enough to destroy you. And that was the kingdom in world history of the Medes and the Persians. Verse 39 very simply says, after you another kingdom will rise, inferior to yours. We know from history a lot about the Persian Empire. We know that the Persian Empire overlapped the Babylonian Empire in the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel describes both. Describes the Babylonians and then describes the Persians. Describes the Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar, and it describes the Persian king, Cyrus, or Darius. And both of these kings Daniel deals with and Daniel prophesies to, and Daniel lives into both lives and into both of these empires. Darius was a great warrior king, and he was able to conquer Babylon. And Daniel came into his service as well. The second kingdom would last from 539 BC to 331 BC. When you're thinking of world history, signified by the bear. And here in this dream is the kingdom of silver. You have gold and you have silver. You have wealth. You have these things about these kingdoms that are signified by the animals that are present in the dream and by the minerals, the gold. So you go from gold and silver, and then we come to the third kingdom of the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. And he says of this third kingdom, they will rule over the whole earth. The whole earth, as the earth knows it, will be an empire of bronze. You go from gold to silver to bronze. And these are signifying something that the people in Nebuchadnezzar's day would understand. The gold, the silver, the bronze. It would be the Greek Empire. World history records the Greeks and the pantheon of gods and the power of Alexander the Great, how he came into power in 331 and conquered the Medes and the Persians and conquered into Europe. And the Greek Empire was spread over the known world, the world that we think of as the biblical world at the time. And it was a world power. Aristotle and Plato and the pantheon of gods and the Greek Empire and the Greek thought and the Greek language and all the things we have heard about the Greeks. This is the kingdom that Daniel is telling Nebuchadnezzar is going to happen. This is prophecy. 300 years before the Greeks rise to power, Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar about the Greek Empire. And then he begins to describe the last kingdom, the last human kingdom. He says this kingdom will be strong as iron. The legs will be of iron, strong, powerful. This kingdom will be a powerful kingdom. It will be a mixed people. It will be people who are mixed from different places and different races and a people that will be spread out. And again, Daniel is talking about the Roman Empire. So you have the Babylonians and you have the Persians and you have the Greeks and you have the Romans. I mean, Daniel is a prophetic book. If you want to see what prophecy is in the Bible, the book of Daniel is one of those places. He is talking about the Roman Empire. He says it will be a mixed people. It will be a fragmented people. When you think of what you've read, if you've ever studied Roman history, how fragmented Rome was because they had armies all over the place. Provinces north, provinces into Asia, provinces into Africa. The Roman Empire was massive, and it covered its language and culture and sent its people all over. It literally covered the known world at the time. It was a powerful, but it was a mixed people. Its feet are made of both clay and iron. Think of what Daniel was telling him. What is God saying to him? That the feet of this great statue, the feet that holds the kingdoms of the world in place, are made of iron, but mixed with clay. But mixed with clay. So you have this strong empire, the Roman Empire. But it's got a lot of impurities in it. It's got a lot of dirt mixed in with the clay. It's not as strong as it seems. And in the day of the Roman Empire, it seemed mighty and strong and powerful. And people would say, no one would ever be able to conquer Rome. No one would be able to defy the kingdoms of the world, the kingdoms of the earth, and the power of man, the power of the king. Nebuchadnezzar, you're the mighty first kingdom, but there'll be others, and they'll be strong, and they'll be powerful, but see, you don't understand, mixed in with the power is clay, and all of a sudden there's going to be a great boulder from the sky that's going to come and destroy the kingdoms, and then there will be an eternal kingdom that will come out of the destruction of the human kingdoms, and it will be the everlasting kingdom. It will be the kingdom given by the God of God, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the God of heaven. The everlasting kingdom, Nebuchadnezzar, that will bring salvation to the world. He's talking in that last kingdom about the power and the wonder of Jesus coming to the world. The book of Daniel is a prophecy about Jesus himself and the everlasting kingdom that is coming to the world. Try to understand the meaning that would have been to Nebuchadnezzar in 600 BC or so as Daniel's telling him. God's given Daniel this amazing ability to prophesy about the future and understand the coming of Christ. I don't know if Daniel understood a lot about what the Messiah was, but he understood enough to be able to convey to Nebuchadnezzar that the kingdom of Jesus would last forever and ever and ever. He would come and he would break down the kingdoms of man. He would break down man's pride and man's power and man's glory and man's dominion, and he would begin a kingdom that will be very, very different. A very, very different kingdom from Babylon and Persia and Greece and Rome. God would send, the God of heaven would send this mighty power down to destroy those kingdoms. It will be the God of heaven. He says specifically, will crush all others, and it will last forever. The kingdom of Jesus. It will be the kingdom of Christ. The kingdom of Christ, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar got something and heard something that not too many people heard in his name, in his day. Nebuchadnezzar heard the plan of God as God is working through time. And for a moment, a glimpse in the book of Daniel, we see all the way to the time of Christ. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron and the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and the interpretation is trustworthy. Daniel says, Nebuchadnezzar, God has given you a special gift, a special insight. Nebuchadnezzar had the opportunity to respond to that gift of God. I don't know in what way we would say that he could respond to who Jesus was, but Nebuchadnezzar had an opportunity to respond to the authority of God, and that God was working and God was speaking to him. This great prophecy, the great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true and the interpretation is trustworthy. You know, 2,000 years later, we also have an opportunity to hear the dream interpreted. If you can imagine what you would have thought and how you would have felt as God reveals this to you. We have a great opportunity to celebrate the fifth kingdom, the kingdom of Christ that will last forever and ever and ever. This is the prophecy of the world leading up to the coming of Christ. Later on in Daniel, Daniel's going to give us more of prophecy. Daniel's going to give us also a glimpse leading to another event, to the event of Jesus coming back. Oh, it's powerful. It's neat. It's special. It's confusing. It's mysterious. I don't understand it, of course. I see things in it just like this one. It's a powerful way that we can see in the Bible that God is working through time and he can be trusted. The fifth kingdom. We celebrate that today. Would you stand? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the book of Daniel. We thank you for the incredible dream of Nebuchadnezzar, and that Daniel just continually pointed the king to God and God's authority. I pray that as we study the book and as we read the Bible, that we would hold God in such high reverence and his words, the power of the story. God, I pray that you would teach us to have such high honor for God's authority, the God of heaven. Thank you for Daniel. Thank you for his life. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to study it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. God bless.